No, we have four scriptures each Sunday, and on this particular Sunday, many of the scriptures were about vineyards and about planting a new vineyard, about God planting a new vineyard. And I really was in such a good relationship with God about this because this week our family planted a new lawn. And it talked about God putting a fence around it. And we put a fence around ours too to keep the dogs out. However, it's the barking dogs that keep the birds off of the just planted lawn. And so we were thankful for our dogs. And as I began to think about that and about the vineyards and about the planting of the vineyards and all that that meant, this little song kept coming to my head. Precious Jesus, loving Jesus, precious Jesus, Jesus my Savior. All of the words of that song just became so important in my mind and so exciting in my mind. And I realized that over the last couple of weeks, I've had an opportunity to share that message in a variety of places where many people might not have had a chance to share about God's love. At the preschool with the little tiny people, I always have an opportunity to share about God's love. I ask them to come in the door and turn around and to bow and say, "Good morning, God." And that usually starts a good conversation. And I got to thinking about how exciting that is for me to just have opportunities to be in places. And then I could hear Paul talking to the Philippians. And I thought to myself, he is so excited about that. He starts out by saying, at the beginning, in the part that you haven't had a chance to hear, he says, "I've written this letter to you before, but I just have to tell it again. I hope you don't mind and that you will read it again." He said, "You know, I used to be just a mighty warrior against the church. I had raised myself up to be at the very top level of who I could be. I was at the top of being the head of so many organizations and so many armies and so many things. I was at the top. I had built myself up. Oh, I followed all of the rules, doing exactly the kinds of things that I thought that I should do in order to become a leader, the leader. And then there was that fateful day. There was that fateful day as I was riding my horse right down the road with my warriors around me, that the voice of Jesus came right into my head and knocked me out of my horse, and I no longer could see or hear. I was just no longer a leader. I was just laying there on the ground, wondering what was going to become of me. I wanted to tell them, do you know who I am? I am one of the few that have been circumcised and followed all of the rules clear to the top. That's who I am." And a voice said, "Take this man to the home of Ananias." A Christian. I thought, my gosh, I've been persecuting Christians. Why would a Christian want to let me in their house? But he let me in his house. And before long, I began to understand that the words of Jesus and the love of Jesus was more powerful than anything that I had known before. And the humbling of myself and my soul was much greater than I would have even imagined, because I wasn't really a very humble person and really didn't understand that word. But being humble to God, having a sense of God's righteousness more important than anything I had ever known before, that I was willing to be beaten and jailed and crucified, whatever it took to take the words of Jesus, because, folks, I'm so excited to tell you about who Jesus is and how Jesus can make a difference in our lives. But you got to tell the story. You have to tell the story. You that I'm talking to, you Philippians, you have to go out and tell the story in order for it to be told through all generations. Here I am. Here I am, Reverend Artis, and I really love to tell the story, no matter where I am. It just happened that in the last couple of weeks, I've had an opportunity to go to several events. One was at a football game, and Patty and I were there to see her nephew, who plays for Hollister High. But when we got there, the stands on our side were in the sun. So we sat with the opposing team. And Patty said to me, "Now, you can't cheer. You have to be just quiet. Just sit there quietly." So as the game proceeded, I sat there quietly until one of our team members made an incredible play. And I just was, yay! You know, I was so excited. And the lady next to me said, "Are you from the other team?" And I said, "Well, yes, actually I am, but really I'm for good. I'm for anything that happens that's really good. You'll see, I will root for your team when they make an incredible pass or a touchdown. I will root for your team just as often as I root for mine." Now, this lady was a grandma, too, and she was there watching her grandson, and she said, "You know what? Secretly, I root for everything that's good, too." You can't help but be excited when these young people do something so fantastic. And then we got into a conversation, she and I, about goodness and the goodness of God and being able to share that with all of the people around us. And wouldn't the world be a different place? Wouldn't the world be a different place if what we were talking about was always good, that we were always applauding good, that we were always saying to the next person about something good, not looking for something negative? Well, that same week, I had an opportunity to be a judge at the fair for the kids' arts and crafts, and then also to do cowboy church, which is what I was doing last week. And I love to be a judge at the fair. I love to be a part of the people, because just the feeling in that area of the adults who are judging the kids is with such love and compassion and hope and tenderness. You know, they really, really hate not to give every single child a blue ribbon, because they can see the time and effort that went into it. They can see the kind of love that the child has put into it, whether they're great at what they're doing or not. Well, there's some times that you know that they didn't really try, that they just had to do this in order to show their animal. But even still, there was still that compassion for all of those kids. As I walked around through the barns, I could see the parents with their kids on a very hot evening preparing their animals to be shown the next day. And this one mother in particular just really touched my heart. She was just pouring down with perspiration, and her hair was all hanging down, and she was just covered in water because she'd been giving this sheep a bath, and she was just working so hard with her daughter, and they were putting this sweater on this sheep because it had been sheared, and really such concentration, no harsh words, just concentration to do something good, to make everything the very best that it could be. Such an incredible example in my mind to the kids who participate there. On that Sunday, after I had had an opportunity to see not just all of the kids who were showing, but all of the kids who had now sold their animals, and many of them who were beginning to grieve the loss of an animal who had become a pet to them, that for a whole year they had nurtured and nurtured whatever that animal was, including teaching their turkey to walk upstairs. You know, how much they loved those animals. And this was the day they had to give them away. And they came, many of them, it was wonderful to see how many kids were there for Cowboy Church. And my message was about the fact that what God wishes of us is that we have three things, that we have love and we have charity and we walk humbly with our God. We walk humbly with our God. And I really felt that that's what those kids were doing, that they were walking humbly with their God as well as the parents that were there. I had an opportunity to see in that same time frame another football game. Humbleness wasn't a part of it. There were so many personal fouls. The teams were being pushed back and pushed back by the mistakes they had made. And I thought to myself, if you just understood about goodness, that you always did things by the rules, moving forward little by little with kindness and compassion for all of the people around you, what a difference this game would have been. What a difference your team would have done as it moved forward down the field instead of being pushed back. You see, we really need to walk with humbleness. We really need to have a sense that God is our focal point, and that what Paul tells us is this is an exciting, exciting story. And we have to tell it because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And the righteousness that comes to us is through God. Through God, not through our own wonderful selves. It's through the gifts that God has given us. It's through the love that God showers down on us. It's through the incredible care that God gives to us. It's through the compassion that we have to read 56 names, feeling so heartbroken that this could even happen in our beautiful country. Humbleness, walking with God, sharing the stories of Jesus. May you have a sense this week of going forward, knowing that God is right there with you and that you can be humble in your greatness, because you see, it's your greatness that will help you to be in the kingdom of heaven with God on one glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.